Now, right now, we're at the historic Tennessee State Prison, a place that was used from Nashville from 1898 to 1992. And Paul is in Rome. Now, his accommodations probably weren't much more than this. And he's been locked up for his faith. He's been locked up for preaching the gospel. He's been locked up and he's been beat up. He's been beaten with rods. He's been beaten with rocks. He's been left for death. And he's been in prison multiple times. But this time he's in Rome because he's appealed to Caesar for a conversation with Caesar. But he knows that when he goes before Caesar, it'll likely cost him his life. He figured Caesar needed to hear the gospel too. And so Paul is essentially on death row because he knows that after this conversation, it probably cost him his head, and eventually it did. And so Paul sits, and he doesn't know if he's going to see tomorrow. But every day he wakes up, he knows that he can make a difference. He knows that he can make a difference because he has his prayers, he has a pen, and he has a piece of paper. And he's spending his time writing these letters to the churches that he helped start. Now, one of the churches was in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a city in modern-day Turkey. We know this city because of the book of Ephesians. And in our Bible, Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And in this city, there was a movement like nothing that the world had ever seen. The entire region was changed. The community was transformed. And Paul spent 3 years there in Ephesus ministering to the church. Now, it was a large city. It was one of the largest in the known world. It was an influential city. It helped shape the culture. It was a pluralistic city. You had the gods of Rome, Roman culture, and the gods of the Greek culture kind of brought together. But mostly Ephesus was known for the worship of the goddess Artemis. There was a temple to Artemis. It was the largest temple in the world. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, spiritual pilgrims came from all over the world to worship there in Ephesus, to worship the goddess Artemis. Now, Ephesus was also known for entertainment. There was this huge amphitheater, 3,000 people. And in this amphitheater, it served for political discourse. It served for Greek theater. It also served for gladiator battles. But Ephesus was also a prospering city. The economy was booming. There was this marketplace where people would travel from all over the known world with a trade port to do their trade. The economy was booming, but so was the movement of Jesus. The movement of Jesus was moving forward, and it was growing rapidly. The church was growing. Paul loved this church. He loved this city. He loved the leaders. He loved what God was doing. And while his heart was with Ephesus, his body was in Rome. And he knew it was likely he would never see them again. But his hope was that they would see this letter, because there were things that the church at Ephesus that they needed to know if the movement was going to continue to grow. It was encouragement and insight and wisdom that they needed if they were going to face the obstacles and the challenges and the adversity that they were up against. And Ephesians is a then and now letter. It was written for them then, and it's written for us now. It's God-breathed, which means it's for Asia Minor, and it's also for Middle Tennessee. And Ephesus, who received this letter, they got it, and then they passed it around from church to church. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's in our hands, which means the movement is in our hands. And we have an important part to play, not just to read the words, but to receive the words and to believe the words and wrap our lives around the words. And when you do that, you become a part of the movement. The movement happens in you, and the movement happens through you. And words matter. And Paul knew this. That's why he prayed for the church. That's why he grabbed a pen and hit some paper, and he wrote this letter to them. And while Ephesus is in ruins 2,000 years later, the movement still continues, and the words are still speaking.
Well, I can't wait to jump into Ephesians with you, but before we get into the book, I just want to say it is so good to be home. Wonderful to be back with you. Cross Point, missed you. Bellevue and Dixon and Franklin and Mount Juliet here in Nashville and God Behind Bars. And those of you joining us online, I wanted to welcome you. Man, it's so good to be back. We had a wonderful vacation. I hope you had a great summer, but we had a great week with our family down in Florida. And then my wife and I took 4 or 5 days down in the Florida Keys and celebrated our 18-year anniversary. So, yeah, so we are celebrating. Had so much fun. True story, on the last night of our anniversary, I had a dream of preaching at Cross Point. And so I dreamed of being here in this moment. And so I was like, well, it's time to go home. And so it is. And so the message today is only going to be 3 hours long. Just kidding, 30 minutes. But man, I'm so, so excited to be back. When we got back into town, went up the stairs at the house, and upstairs I have a blue box. I think we got a picture of it. This is a blue box that's up at the top of the stairs. And this box is significant for our family because this box holds letters, and many of you wrote letters to us a year ago. It's hard to believe it's been a year, but a year ago you wrote letters to our family just welcoming us to Cross Point. I just want to thank you for that. Like, words matter, and so those letters are significant for our family and our journey, and just we're celebrating all that God's done this past year. It's hard to believe it's been a year. When we look back, we just see that box is full of letters. The past 12 months, God has just jam-packed full of stories of life change and people coming to faith in Jesus and families being restored, people who have struggled with addiction being set free, people going public with their faith, God just transforming lives. And can we just celebrate all that God's done in this past year together? And so we give him all the glory. And we say, God, would you continue this movement? Would you continue the move of what you're doing? I mean, words do matter. Have you ever gotten a letter that you held on to, those words? Have you gotten a letter, if you were born after 2000, have you ever gotten a text message that you just screenshot because you were like, that's awesome, right? Love. My wife gave me another box of letters. For my 40th birthday, she had the idea, and she got 365 letters from friends and family, pulled them together, and her idea was, you can read one each day of your 40th year. Oh, that's a great idea. And I screwed it up. Because the night she gave it to me, I tore into that thing. And I read like 30 or 40 of those things. I really did. And I read through, I mean, it was like a box of Thin Mints. I was just going through them, right? And I was just reading through them. And I was like, man, because those words, man, listen, when you receive words from people who know you and from people who love you, it's significant. And that's why I hope that this book, you treasure it. Because inside the Bible are words for you from the one who knows you the best and loves you the most. And these words are living and they're active and they guide us and they speak truth, the words to our soul that we need to hear. And in the chaos and confusion of our feelings and our world, they give us the truth about who God is and who we are and who he calls us to be. And so we want to be a people of the book because these words are from God. In fact, when you read in Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's you, that's me, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has set up in your day good works. Like, he's assisted you and set up those. You have moments that have been created and crafted by God in your day. And God's like, I want you to be ready for them. And he gives us his word to help us be prepared for that, to equip us in our lives. It says that those words are inspired by God. They're God-breathed. They're inspired by God. And God moved on people like the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians. And Paul used to be a terrorist against the church, persecuted the movement of Jesus, and then he was captured by the love of God. He had an encounter with Jesus that changed him, transformed his life, and then he became the biggest advocate of the movement. In fact, he became a leader in the movement, a spiritual leader in the movement of Jesus, and he championed and helped start churches, and it's churches like the church in Ephesus, and that's where we get the book of Ephesians. So turn there with me. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can take the Bible from the person next to you, just say, I'm borrowing that. No, you can go and you can download the Bible app. You can follow on there, or you can look in your program. We've got the scripture there. And we're going to actually put it up on the screens to help you along. And when a letter would be given, these were circular letters, they'd be given and passed around from church to church. And when a church would receive a letter, so when the church at Ephesus received this letter, they all gathered as the church, and someone read from it, just like we're doing today. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I imagine this is the introduction, and Paul's just real clear on who he is, an apostle, and he's real clear on who he's writing to, the church. And he says, you are God's holy and faithful people. I imagine that there were people who were listening to that being read, and they're like, well, I'm out. When they heard him say holy and faithful, they're like, nah, that's not me. You ever read somebody else's email? I mean, it's just like in that moment, like, this is not meant for us. And we can feel the same way. Because holy and faithful aren't usually words we use to describe ourselves. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Well, Sally, I'm doing holy and faithful. I am holy and faithful today. Like, that's just not, it's not how we introduce ourselves or think of ourselves.
But when Paul says holy and faithful, holy means you're set apart. Faithful means full of faith in Christ. In other words, a believer. And what Paul is saying is that your identity was changed the moment you came to Jesus. Holy and faithful is not a spiritual badge that you earn. It's an identity that you've received. See, it's not so much about how you see yourself. It's how God sees you. And when God looks at you, he says, there's my set apart one. When he looks at you, he says, there's the believer. There's the person that's believed in me and trusted in me. What Paul wants you to know is that you've got to see yourself as God sees you. And on our anniversary, we were sitting at dinner and we were talking about God's faithfulness in the past year. And we were dreaming together about the next year and what God had for our family. And as we're talking about that, and I'm talking with Rhi and I'm asking her questions, I just had this moment where I was like, Rhi, if you could just see yourself as I see you, like if you could just see how beautiful and how strong and how compassionate and how kind, if you could just see the kind of mom that you are, if you could just see how I see you, man, everything would change for you. If you could climb in my head and see through my eyes, it would all be different for you. And what God is saying to you is if you could just see yourself as he sees you, his love for you, and that when you came to Christ, everything changed in that moment. Listen, you become a part of the movement of Jesus the moment you say yes to him. We're talking about words matter. That prayer matters because everything changes in that moment. I mean, you read through the scripture, this is just some of them, but in that moment, you go from death to life, from lost to found, from darkness to light, from orphan to adopted, from in sin to in Christ, from wrath of God to receiving his mercy, from unrighteous to righteous, from hell to heaven, from alone to being with God, from powerless to being powerful, to from an enemy of God and being opposed to him, to being a friend of God, from a sinner to a saint, from faithless to faithful. Like, that's the good news, that in a moment, all of that changes. All of that changes in one moment. You don't have to go to remedial classes before this. You don't have to go and do like prerequisites. You don't have to go to training camp. You don't have to try out. You don't have to audition. In a moment, by putting your faith in Christ, all of these things change. How God sees you changes in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to learn to live it out. See, I'm gonna tell you, there are many times where I don't feel life and I don't feel found and I don't feel light and I don't feel adopted and I don't feel in Christ. There are times where I feel tired. Anybody with me on that? All right. There are times when I feel discouraged. There are times when I feel defeated. There are times when I feel alone. There are times I feel those things. But listen, my feelings can be all over the place, but who I am in Christ is not. And we can feel all kinds of things. And that's why words matter, because these words keep us rooted no matter where our feelings are. Have you ever been confused? You ever been on vacation, woke up in a hotel room and had that moment like, where in the world am I? Have you ever been in Nashville and woke up in a strange place and been like, where in the world am I? Maybe that's the reason you're here today. Maybe that was last night. We just want you to know, everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything's possible. We are glad that you're here. I mean, we have that moment of just confusion of like, where am I? Listen, just because you're confused about where you're at, it doesn't change where you're at. And just because we might be confused in a moment because of our feelings and what's going on in our life, it doesn't change the reality of who we are in Christ and how he sees us. And all of that changes in a moment. And what I want you to see is that God was moving toward you before you ever moved toward him. That's why when you read through chapter one, I love in chapter one, but if you go through, you can read through and you find that God blessed you, God chose you, God adopted you, God freely gave you grace, God gave you redemption through his blood, God gave you forgiveness of sin. All these are things that God did toward you before you ever turned toward him. So the movement depends on him. It's not that you first loved God, it's that he first loved you. So you don't earn your way into this movement. You just say yes. And then the movement happens through you. And Paul goes on in this. If you got a Bible, you can look with me at the scripture. It says verse 13. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, in other words, the good news of your salvation, when you believed. When you what? Believe. Doesn't say when you behaved. When you felt it, when you got your stuff together, it says at the moment that you believed, what happened? You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the moment you believe, that you put your trust in Jesus, the moment that you said yes to him, at that moment, everything changed. It takes a lifetime to learn to live it out, but everything changed in that moment. And then it says that you received his Spirit. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you, and he changes you. He transforms you and changes you to be more like Christ, to be more who you were created to be. The best version of yourself comes out of that relationship with him. And the words matter. Words matter. Now, your life was changed the moment you said yes to him. But I'm telling you, I talked to a lot of people who say, I can't remember that moment. I can't remember that moment I first believed. Maybe you grew up in a family of faith and you're like, I've always believed in Jesus. Or maybe you've had that moment a lot of times. Like, you've had a lot of those moments. Like, maybe a lot of those moments where you raise your hand, you bow your head, you pray the prayer, you check the box, and you're like, and you did it a lot. You're like, I don't know when the first time was. I want to say, it's okay. The important thing is that you've had that moment. But while I've met many people who have forgotten when that moment was for them, I've never met anybody who forgot their baptism, who chose to be baptized as an adult, because that's an unforgettable moment. Remember the moment when you were wearing dry clothes and you got up in front of everybody and you sat down in a tub and the pastor put you underwater and held you underwater and held you, I'm just kidding, he didn't hold you underwater that long, but he raised you up and said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and bam, people were cheering, woo, and there was a party and there was a celebration. Like, you remember that moment, your hair was down on your face. I mean, you remember that moment when your makeup's running down, and you remember that moment? Yeah, because you can't forget that moment. It's an unforgettable moment. And baptism doesn't save you, but it does point back to a moment where Jesus did. It's powerful, and that's why we're so excited that today is Baptism Sunday. And many of you have prepared, you've put it on your calendar, but some of you are here, and you didn't have it on the calendar, but it's been on God's calendar. And he's been working in your life, and he's been working in your heart, and today's the day, and we've prepared for you. At all of our campuses, we've prepared for you. And now our prayer is that God would give you the courage that if you put your faith in Jesus, that you let everybody know. And we celebrate with you on what has happened. But baptism's not the finish line, it's the starting line. When I was standing at the altar with my wife, Ree, and I said, I do, that wasn't the finish line. That was the starting line. And it was the starting line of the relationship that I would get to know her and that she would know me. Listen, baptism is the starting line of relationship, that you would get to know God. That's the reason he saved you. That you would know him in a personal relationship. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the living God. Listen, look with me at John chapter 17. This is what Jesus prayed for you, prayed for me. It's in his prayer, John 17. He said, now this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. It's what Jesus prayed, that you would know God. Jesus said, this is eternal life. Let me ask you a question. What is eternal life? That you would know God. What did Jesus come for? That you would know God. What did Jesus die for? That you would know God. What were you made for? That you would know God. What's the best thing in the world? Key lime pie. I mean, besides knowing God, I mean, key lime pie, but key lime pie. Any key lime pie fans across Middle Tennessee? I love some key lime pie. And there is a big difference. Here's what I'm going to say. There is a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Just like there's a big difference between knowing about key lime pie and knowing key lime pie. I've loved key lime pie as long as I've had a relationship with key lime pie longer than my relationship with Ree. So there were a lot of things I was excited about my anniversary trip, if you know what I mean. But one of them was that we were going to the Keys, and I would get to eat key lime pie in its natural habitat. And I took it on myself as a personal mission. I'm gonna find the best key lime pie on the planet. And so I ate a lot of it. I ate a lot of key lime pie. I mean, they told me, well, we can cover it in chocolate. I was like, yep. I mean, anything. I ate a lot of key lime pie.
I was asking people all over the place. I asked Uber drivers, I asked servers, I asked strangers on the street, what's the best key lime pie? Like, because I just wanted to try. I had, for the service of all humanity, I had to find the best key lime pie. And so when I would find some, you know, something somebody recommended, I would go and check, because I didn't travel 1,000 miles to know about key lime pie. I traveled 1,000 miles to know key lime pie intimately. And here's the deal. My wife, Rhea, and I ate a lot of key lime pie. Summer was just not good for the diet plate. So we said, hey, in August, we're going to eat clean. We're going to do a reset. No sugar, no carbs. And but like, this is an illustration, y'all. This is for Jesus. Sorry, Rhea. There is a difference between knowing about key lime pie and knowing key lime pie. Did y'all hear the angels? Oh, I mean, it was. Hold on. That's so good. So good. I thought about sharing it with y'all, but I have an illustration I have to hold true to. There is a difference between knowing about and knowing. Listen, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing Him personally. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, knowing about God is religion. Knowing God personally, that's about a relationship. And God is committed to you knowing Him. And this is why when Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, look at what he prays. He says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. In other words, he is 5,000 miles away from them, but his influence is not limited by his proximity because he's praying for them. Ladies who are God behind bars, I want you to know that your influence is not limited to your location, that your prayers are powerful, and the prayers you pray for your children and for your families are powerful. And Paul is praying for the church, and there's power in his prayers. And what is he asking God for? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And Paul's prayer for the church is that you would know God. That's my prayer for you, that you would know God, and that the eyes of your heart would be opened up, that you would have wisdom and revelation of how good he is. If you've got children who have gone off to school, and maybe this is the first time that they've gone off to school, and you're experiencing that, you don't know what to do, pray that prayer over them. Pray that prayer for them, that they would have wisdom and revelation, that they would know God, because when you know God, you know his will. When you know God, you know his ways. When you know God, you know his heart. When you know God, you know you can trust him. When you know God, you know how good he is. You know his presence, you know his power. And the more you know God, the less attractive sin looks. Paul said that you would know God. But here's the deal. Sometimes we can be in a relationship with somebody and we can think, man, I know them. Because we've been in a relationship for a while. I've known my wife since 8th grade. We've been married 18 years. There was a season where I got into kind of a, well, I know her. I mean, I could finish her sentences for her. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. And we can kind of get into a place where we have familiarity and we stop seeking to know. And then I was at this, a few years back, I was at this leadership event. And they were asking icebreaker questions. We're going through about 20 questions. And as we go through those questions, I realized I don't know that I know how Rhea, my wife, would answer those questions. And so I totally tuned out of this event, and I just began to wonder, man, what would she say to that question? And what should she say to that question? And then when I left there, we found some time to get away. We went and had dinner together, and we had a long dinner together, and I pulled out that list of questions, and I asked her those questions. And as I asked the questions and I just listened, I realized there is so much I don't know. And as I sat and I listened, it was like she just blossomed in front of me. And it didn't have anything to do with her. It had everything to do with me. Because I had turned off the seeking and the knowing. And as I began to listen and I began to ask more questions, I realized there is so much more to her to know. And I wonder if we don't do that in our relationship with God sometimes. Man, I've had a moment. I've got salvation, but God saved you that you would know him, that you would seek to know him more. And the more you know him, the more you know his power. And Paul tells us what that power looks like. Look with me. He says, and the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above every rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And what Paul's saying is that the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And that power is tied to the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is above every other name. It's above the name of Artemis. It's above every other god of Rome and of Greece. It's above political systems and Caesar. It's above the Roman Empire. It's above the economy. It's above every other thing in this world, that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name, and his power is greater than any other power. Which, here's what that means, no matter what I'm struggling with and what you're struggling with, that it is infinitesimal compared to the power that raised him from the dead. And that power lives in you, and its power over temptation, and its power over addiction, and its power over defeat and over discouragement, its power over pain and hurt. It's in the past. You say, my power is greater. And the more we know God, the more we know his power. So the question is, how do we live with that power? Like, I want some of that. And he is the source. And so how do we live with it? Well, let's just get real practical. I want to give you two ways that you can tap into his power in your life. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. To get you to the first one, let me ask you a question. Who is the most influential person in your life? Who's the most influential person in your life? You know who the most influential person in your life is? It's you. You know how I know? Because you talk to yourself more than anybody else. Some of us have the gift of having the conversation out loud. It's okay to talk to yourself out loud. Just don't talk back. Like if you... We talk to ourselves. There is an unceasing conversation going on in our head. You say, well, how do we tap into the power of God? Here's how. Preach to yourself. Don't just listen to yourself. Preach to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Preach truth to yourself. Remind yourself of the promises of God. Remind yourself who you are in him. Let's go back to the list. When you feel alone, remind you that God said, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you feel darkness, remind yourself that the light of Christ is in you. And he looks at you and he says, you are the light of the world. Remind yourself that you don't have an orphan spirit, that you've been adopted by him, and that the Father holds you in his grip. This is when we preach the gospel to us. And where do we get these? We get these promises from the words of God. And we wrap our lives around these words. And listen, we're going to build our life on somebody's words. You're building your life on some words, whether they're just words going on in your head that you're telling yourself or words. And you can't afford to have a thought in your mind that's not in God's mind when he thinks about you. And so we wrap our lives around this word. So preach the gospel to yourself. A second one, if you're taking notes, you can write it down, is seek to know God better. Seek to know God better. God is a person, and God desires to be known. He says, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek with all your heart. God wants to be known by you, and he is infinite, which means no matter how much you think you know God, you've just scratched the surface. He's saying, seek to know him better. Maybe you're saying, I don't even know if there is a God. That's okay for you to be in that place and be honest in your confession. I would just challenge, maybe a courageous prayer for you to say, God, if you're real, would you show me that you're real? Would you reveal yourself to me? Maybe for you, a courageous thing would be saying, okay, I want to seek to know God more. Say, okay, every week of this series, as we go through the book of Ephesians, I'm going to show up. Maybe to seek God better would just say, I'm going to gather with the believers. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to put it on the calendar and show up. Maybe for others to seek to know God better would be to join us. I'm going to invite all of you to do this, to join us through this month, to journey through the book of Ephesians. Our team has put together an incredible devotional that's going to help you with that. You can go to crosspoint.tv/devo, sign up for that, and join us week in and week out. And we've got it digital online, or you can print it out and follow along there. But that we together would say, God, we want to know you more, because that's where life comes from. Seeking him and knowing him is eternal life. It's the best thing going. And the more we know him, the more we know his will for our life.
and what he desires for us. We say, and will you seek me? Had a, don't just know about me, but know me. Had an interesting kind of picture of what it means to seek when we were in the Keys. We were walking around and we heard about this museum called the Mel Fisher Maritime Museum. We went to this museum and there we found out about this guy named Mel Fisher who was from California, and he moved all the way to the Keys because he heard that there was a shipwreck down off the Keys. In 1622, a Spanish ship called the Atocha, that there was a shipwreck and no one had ever found the treasure. So he moved his entire family, California to the Keys, and began to look for that. And every day he looked for the treasure for 14 years. 14 years. Looking for a treasure, hoping that it's there. And then one day, his son called in on the radio and said, "Dad, put away the maps. We found it." They went out and they discovered the treasure and they hauled up $450 million worth of treasure. $450 million worth of treasure. For 14 years they looked, they finally found it. And what captured my attention was when we went into the museum, there was this sign that was hanging there in the museum. And it said, "Today's the day." Now, this is not the actual sign. I did not steal it. This is, this looks just like it. I didn't want to steal anything from that museum. If I was going to steal something, you think I'm going to steal the sign? I mean, never mind. With all the gold and all the silver and all the treasure that they had, this sign hung up there. This is the day. Today's the day. And the reason they had the sign is because they said that was above the cabin, the office, where he officed out of. And every day he would gather the crew around and he would point to that sign and he'd say, "Today's the day. Today's the day we're going to find the treasure. Today's the day." And then one day, it was. $450 million. That was the day. For 14 years, today's the day. And then one day, it was. Now, $450 million, that's a lot. $450 million is a lot of money. You can buy a lot of things for $450 million. You can buy you a boat. You can buy you a truck to pull it. You can buy a lot of things for $450 million. But you know one thing $450 million can't buy you? Peace with God. It can't buy you a right relationship with him. It can't buy you his forgiveness. It can't buy you that freedom. Can't buy you new life. Can't buy you any of the things that we had listed up on this board. All of those things are given as grace. But what you have to do is you have to receive it. You just have to receive it. Put your faith in him. And for some of you, today's the day that you receive that treasure. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. In just a moment, I want to pray with those where today's the day where you put your trust in Jesus for the first time. There also where today's the day for your baptism. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to go public with your faith through baptism. And then a third group, I believe today's the day where you recommit yourself to knowing God. But I want to invite you into a moment of prayer. And I want to ask that you bow your heads and your hearts with me, all of our locations. And give me the privilege, if you would, of leading you into that moment. And so if you want to trust Jesus today, if you want to receive his forgiveness, if you want to begin new life with him, if you want this to be the moment that you receive the grace of God and you find peace with God, now I want to invite you to pray a prayer, something like this. You can just whisper it, make it your prayer. "Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Today, I receive your forgiveness. Today, I receive your grace. Thank you for giving me new life. I want to be a part of your movement." We can talk about words matter, but those are the most important words you've ever prayed. Because God's answer to that prayer is yes. And everything changed in that moment.
for others, today's the day where you go public with your faith. Maybe you've fought it for a long time. Maybe your heart's beating through your chest. Maybe you've known that you needed to do this. Maybe you've just realized that. And you need to know, while it's not hasn't been on your calendar, it's been on God's calendar. He's been preparing and planning for you to have an unforgettable moment of obedience. We want to invite you to that. I pray God's courage for you to take the next step. And then for others, I pray for many of us that this, as we engage with His Word and as we seek to know God better, that we encounter a movement in and through our lives and our hearts like we've never known. I pray that for you, that God would revive your faith, that He would restore your love for Him, that He would fill you with His love from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and that you would seek Him like you've never sought Him in your life. God, would you give us that? And that you'd be glorified in and through your church. In Jesus' name, amen.